Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Wednesday, March 24th, 2021, and hallelujah, spring is officially here. Just a few days ago, I celebrated and wished my dear Iranian friends a Happy New Year, the start of the Persian New Year, Nowruz. So the weather has drastically changed from frigid cold to nice and warm. It's getting ready to have to cut grass and clean gutters, but I love the season of spring. Fertility, new beginnings, and Easter. And oh boy. That is the subject of our program today. I'm going to deal with the tactics of the Internet police, who every year will begin posting things about the so-called pagan origins of Easter. And, of course, if you haven't heard that before, well, you're going to hear it today, except I'm going to refute the claim that the term and word Easter and that Easter has anything to do with paganism or goddesses or anything of the such. Easter is related to Passover. Jesus fulfilled the Passover by declaring, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you." The crucifixion and the resurrection has nothing to do with paganism. Jesus triumphed over Satan, death, and hell. He bore our sin and judgment on the cross. Easter is about the glorious resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We're going to get to that a little bit later. But I want to talk today to the spiritual seekers, primarily the non-Christians. Maybe they're thinking about the claims of Christ. Maybe they're considering Christianity, but they hear that our holidays, our sacred days, Easter, Christmas, are somehow related to paganism. And there's a question mark in those spiritual seekers' minds like, what? What is that talking about? Well, I want to deal with that today. Now, of course, this is great information for you if you're a Christian, if you're a veteran of the faith. This is the kind of information we need to give to those critics, to those spiritual seekers that have been told that Easter or Christmas is somehow borrowing from the pagan world, that it has little to do with Christianity. You've heard this claim probably before at some time, but today I want to give an apologetic and a defense for the Christian faith and answer the question, is Easter a pagan holiday? Well, let's look at the term, the word Easter. It's claimed that it comes from the word Ishtar, or Astarte, or Ostara. Now, the problem with that is that it has its origins in the German language, And there are many similarities between German and English. Many English writers have referred to the German language as the mother tongue. Now, the English word Easter, of German-Saxon origin, and it's not Babylonian, as claimed by Alexander Hyslop in his book, The Two Babylons. Alexander Hyslop claimed that the Roman Catholic Church derived a lot of their teachings and things from the pagan world. And he goes on to make the case with the word Easter. And we're going to show that that kind of research is faulty. It's not credible at all. So the word Easter in English comes from a German-Saxon origin. The equivalent to the word Easter is Oster. And it is related to a term not about a goddess, not about paganism, but the term Oster means dawn, rising of the sun, and simply in English, east. So again, when you do your research, your etymology of words, their meanings and origin, and you look up the word Easter from the German-Saxon origin, and the English word is derived from the German word Oster. Oster means dawn, rising of the sun. It does not mean Ishtar, Astarte, or has anything to do with Astara. Now, that's very interesting because in the resurrection accounts in the Gospels, when did Jesus arise? When did the women go to the tomb? At the break of dawn. Interesting that the German word dawn relates to the word Oster. Now, Oster comes from the old Teutonic form of Osterhahn, Oferstahan, which actually means resurrection. And these two words combine to form Estahan, which is a German form of Ashtahan, which means resurrection. So there you have it. The research is not on the side of paganism. It's on the side of resurrection, dawn, rising of the sun. Now, we as Christians, in our history, don't really call it Easter. I mean, we do, but we should call it Pascha. Pascha is about the Jewish Passover. Jesus was crucified during the time of the Jewish Passover, which in Hebrew is called Pesach, in Aramaic, Pascha. And the timing of the Jewish festival is tied to the cycle of the moon, which always happens sometimes in the spring. So Christians from the most ancient of times have seen Jesus' death and resurrection as the fulfillment of the Passover holiday and have therefore kept the transliterated name for Passover, which is a derivative of the word Pascha, really not Easter. And Easter, Pascha, has nothing, of course, to do with paganism. Now, well, you may say, okay, I got that. That's not what the word means. But what about the Easter eggs? Certainly, that's a pagan practice. That's from the fertility religions. I mean, surely, Randy, haven't Christians adopted paganism somehow into their worship? No. Christians actually began first using eggs to celebrate Easter in ancient Mesopotamia. They would dye the eggs red, which was the color of blood. And that was a symbol to show the power of Jesus' blood to give people new life. Now, in some Orthodox churches, priests still bless red eggs during Easter, on the night before Easter, actually. So there really is no evil in the coloring of Easter eggs. Actually, you can use the symbol of blood, the color of blood on the eggs, in a way to share your faith with non-Christians. Because think about it. Spring is new life. It's regeneration. It's rebirth. Well, what is the resurrection? New life, regeneration, rebirth, the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. He triumphed over death, hell, and Satan. He forgave our sins. And the Easter eggs and the color is a way to show the blood of Christ in his death on the cross for us. But what about the Easter rabbit? Certainly, I mean, all of these things have some pagan origins. Well, again, they're part of God's creation. Even if bunnies and eggs somehow relate back to the pagan worship, Christians have taken the resurrection and what it means and have invested new Christian meanings in this spring ritual. This was the practice of the early Christians, to take the pagan symbols and say, look, we're going to invest new, real meanings in it. This is what the real celebration is all about. Now, of course, speaking specifically about Easter, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior has been celebrated since the discovery of the empty tomb in the Gospels. And of course, in AD 325, when the Emperor Constantine became emperor, he determined that the church would celebrate Easter on the first Sunday that occurs after the full moon on or after the vernal equinox. And so that date varies from early March to April, but it was Constantine that created the holiday. But again, it has nothing to do with paganism, because something that Christians believe in and worship occurs at the same time of spring with the fertility worship of pagans doesn't mean it comes from paganism. It's just celebrated at the same time. And of course, Passover, Pascha, is what Easter is really all about. So here we see the practice of Christians redeeming early pagan symbolism. And it's very important you understand this. The church, in its expansion and missionary work, had options on how to talk to non-Christians, how to handle their customs. One school of thought was, well, we're going to require the converts, to the Christian faith to just abandon their cultural traditions if they want to embrace Christianity. That was one line of thought. The other tactic was to allow the customs to continue, but give Christian meaning to them. Now, you may disagree with that. You may say, I don't like that, shouldn't have anything to do with that. But this was one school of thought as symbols to invest real Christian meaning in those symbols. And it was not an attempt to mislead, but more of a cultural sensitivity to the people that were there at that time. And the missionaries were taking the gospel and putting it into the context that was meaningful to people within the frame of reference. And so this was a tact of early Christian missionary. And just taking the example from Easter, not a Christmas. When you think of Christmas, how many people really think of the pagan god that the Romans instituted on December 25th? Well, no, you don't think of it. There are billions of people that are taught about Christmas, the birth of our Savior. Again, Christians taking the birth of our Savior for Christmas and instituting it on that day, even though we have no evidence that's when Jesus was born, exactly on December 25th. And we take now with Easter the death, burial, and resurrection and say, the spring fertility celebrates something different, but here's really what spring is about, the new birth, new life. And so this is one way we address the paganism. We say we're going to take that symbol and invest real Christian meaning into that symbol. So kind of summing up everything we're saying here, church chose these dates, Christmas, Easter, to point to something very special, the triumph of Christ over death, hell, and Satan, the triumph of Christ over sin. And they weren't endorsing a new pagan ceremony, but rather establishing a rival celebration. Because today, most everyone, there are a select few, but most everyone don't even think of the pagan gods of Rome on Christmas. Instead, a billion people on Earth are taught the message of Christmas, the birth of our Savior, and they celebrate the Christ of Christmas. There's a big difference here. The point being is that Christianity did not borrow anything from paganism. They took the meaning of Christ's death and resurrection, and they invested true celebration and meaning for that time of year. Now, the Bible has something very unique to say about philosophies and teachings. As we think about Easter, as we think about Pascha, as we think about the resurrection, Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 14 is very helpful for us here. The Apostle Paul was dealing with the Gnostic heresy in the Colossian church at that time. It was an early form of Gnosticism. And these Gnostics would come into the Christian church and say they have a brand new secret revelation of who Jesus is. And in this new revelation, it reduced Jesus to nothing more than a New Age guru, an avatar. And Paul said that is false. Here's what Paul said that's very instructive for us today as we think about the attack of paganism on the meaning of Easter. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 through 14, "Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head of over every rule and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it out of the way by nailing it to the cross." What a beautiful message to combat the demonic forces against Christianity. Christ is God in human form, Paul writes. We are united with Christ. We're buried with him in baptism. God took us from spiritual death and brought us to spiritual life. He forgave all of our sins by canceling the record of the charges against us, and he took it out of the way by nailing it to the cross of Christ. Now we understand something about Passover. Now we understand something about Resurrection Day and Easter. There's nothing pagan at all about the good news of the gospel. It is the power of God. It is the great victory of God over sin, death, hell, and Satan. Jesus is our victory. Jesus has nothing to do with paganism. In fact, he triumphed over all the demonic forces in his death, burial, and resurrection. That, my friends, is what Easter is all about. Well, in this short time, I hope I was able to address most of your objections, most of your questions you had about that. And in light of what we just read in the Bible, I think right now is the perfect time for you and me to celebrate the real meaning of Easter. Here's a beautiful song of worship from Matthew Ward, entitled Easter Song on the Cross in the Desert. Let's listen. worship music from one of the best vocalists in Christian music today. That is Matthew Ward singing his sister song. Actually, Annie Herring, Matthew Ward, and Kelly, all the group Second Chapter of Acts in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. One of their biggest songs was entitled Easter Song. It was written by Annie Herring, who said that just one day close to Easter, she just asked the Lord for an Easter present. And he gave her the gift of this beautiful song, which is kind of a classic in Christian music. And, of course, she was the vocalist on that song, but that's her brother. Again, Matthew has one of those unmistakable, beautiful voices, and there isn't anything he can't sing. He's just so gifted. Today on the Cross in the Desert, I've taken some time to give an apologetic for the Christian faith in the face of its critics that try to claim something about Christianity that just does not bear out the truth when you do the research. And that's the important thing. For all of the spiritual seekers who may go on the internet and see these claims, just remember, not everything is real what it appears to be. You have to do your research. You have to ask the questions. You just can't take things for granted. And one of the things here I try to do on the Cross in the Desert, besides just speaking up for the human rights of my Iranian friends, is to give a defense for the Christian faith and to say, look, these claims don't pan out once you do the research. So I really appreciate you taking the time today to listen to this teaching. It's also available on my podcast on Anchor, and I feature them always on my Facebook page. This Easter, if you're a spiritual seeker that has been searching, that has been looking, I want you to consider the words of Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, that is God, but except, through me. Jesus claims, if you're lost, I am the way. If you're searching in all the philosophies of the world, I am the truth. And if you're looking for new life, I am the life giver. I give abundant life. Jesus made these claims, but he backed up these claims. Because people can make all sorts of claims, but are they true? The way that Jesus substantiated his claims was that he gave his life on a cross for our sins, was pronounced dead from crucifixion, and then 3 days later rose up from the dead. He's a living Savior. And so because he's a living Savior, the claim of I am the way, the truth, and the life, you now are going to take very seriously. Because God does not raise false prophets from the dead. Yet he raised up Jesus the third day. And that, my friends, is what Easter is all about. The greatest act of sacrificial love was demonstrated for us more than 2,000 years ago. Jesus became the literal embodiment of the Passover lamb, the lamb without flaw and defect that was given for our salvation. He died a horrendous death to pay the price for our forgiveness and then rose again. He is Lord. He is God. He is our Creator. And you can get to know him. How? Simply asking him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. If we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, we shall be saved. I want to thank you once again for listening today. Please share this on your pages. Please share it with your friends. It may answer the questions that they're asking. It may just be what they need to hear to really understand what Easter, what Pascha is all about. God bless you. I will see you again tomorrow on the Cross in the Desert. Have a great day.